In the parable of the sower, probably one of the most familiar parables in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells the parable of a man who goes out to sow seed, and that seed represents the Word of God. And the soils, the four soils, represent four different kinds of heart. And we find in verse 15 that Jesus is talking about the honest and good heart. I want us to think this morning a little bit about what all is involved in that. And do I have an honest and good heart? What kind of a person has an honest and good heart? What kind of a person truly accepts and receives the Word of God in his or her life enough to believe and obey it and bear the proper fruit? When we think of the matter of honesty, we typically associate it with the idea of telling the truth. Someone who does not lie, someone who does not cheat, someone who does not steal. And certainly honesty is that very thing. An honest person will not lie and will not steal and will not cheat. We talk about someone who has an honest face or someone who is engaged in an honest profession. And so honesty certainly involves the matter of telling the truth. But here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, when Jesus talks about an honest and good heart, he's using a word that includes more than just the matter of telling the truth. It involves the idea of being fair. In other words, when the Word of God is presented to me, I'm going to be fair with that. I'm going to be open and straightforward in my approach to the Word of God. I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to be frank and look at it in an open and honest way and make the necessary changes. We need to understand that Jesus is really using this concept of honesty in the parable of the sower more than the idea of just telling the truth. Because in reality, a person can tell the truth and still not have an honest and good heart when it comes to the Word of God. You know, there are a lot of people today in this town and around the world that they go throughout the week and they always tell the truth. But you know what? They don't respond rightly to the Word of God. They tell the truth at home. They tell the truth at work. But they go throughout the week and they never obey the Word of God. They don't have an honest and good heart. They're always telling the truth, but they don't have an honest and good heart. And so we need to understand that honesty in this case and in this parable and in this lesson involves much more than just simply telling the truth. A person might get the idea that because I always tell the truth that I'm right with God, when in fact they're wrong with God. And so we need to look at the matter of what Jesus is saying here and understand that it involves much more than just simply telling the truth. And I say simply telling the truth. Understand that telling the truth is important, but we don't need to limit our concept or idea of honesty to telling the truth. That's important, and that's the subject of another good lesson, maybe in the future. But here it's the idea of, am I fair with the Word of God? And am I open and straightforward in my reception of the Word of God? When we look at the matter of Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. This is where we learn of the good and honest heart, or the honest and good heart. Notice in verse 15, Jesus says, and that in the good ground these are such as have an honest and good heart. Now look at this. Having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. Notice that what Jesus says there is it deals with the reception of the Word of God. When Jesus talks about an honest and good heart, he's talking about one's attitude toward receiving the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 in the parallel account. You find that what Jesus is saying here is it deals with our reception of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23, let's look at the two parallel accounts in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23, when Jesus talks about the honest and good heart, notice what he says very carefully. And he that was sown upon the good ground, that is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Notice that he says there, the good ground is he that heareth the word. We're talking about someone who is receiving the word of God, and so he focuses on the matter of honesty with reception to the word of God. That's very important. Again, it's more than just telling the truth. It's my reception of the word of God. That is what is determining my honesty. Look at the parallel account in Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. And those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word. The honesty that Jesus is talking about is an honesty that has to do with our reception of the word of God. Such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So what we're talking about this morning is an honest person when it comes to hearing the word of God. Again, I can tell the truth at home. When I'm talking with my wife, I always tell the truth. And when I go to work and I'm talking with my coworkers or my boss, and I always tell the truth. But when the Bible is presented to me, I don't believe it and obey it. I don't have an honest and good heart. An honest person, when it comes to hearing the word of God, that's what we want to consider this morning. Am I honest in that way? Notice again these parallel passages. Jesus talks about an honest and good heart. First of all, he says, let's look at four elements. The first thing he says is, it's an attentive heart. Notice he says there that they which fell on the good ground, they hear the word and accept it. If I'm honest with regard to God's word, whenever the Bible is open, when I'm reading it myself, or when someone else is reading and I'm listening, I'm attentive to that. I'm not daydreaming, I'm not wondering, I'm not thinking about something else, I'm not thinking about how it would be better to be somewhere else. I'm attentive. I hear the word and accept it. That's honesty. Have you ever noticed sometimes you'll be studying with someone and you can tell maybe that they're daydreaming or maybe that their mind is somewhere else? That's not honesty. I'm not being straightforward with the word of God. So I'm attentive, number one. Number two, Jesus says that an honest heart is one that's a discerning heart. This comes from the Matthew passage in Matthew 13. He says there that they which fell on the good ground hear it and understand it. So now that it's more than just hearing, it's more than just sounds that's going into my ears, but I'm thinking about that. I'm discerning. To discern means to think and ponder and reason. And I'm listening to those words that come from the Bible, and I'm understanding them, I'm applying them, I'm thinking about whether or not I've obeyed them or not. It's a discerning heart. It's not just a matter of words coming and going, but I'm going to focus in on that. I'm going to study it. That's a part of understanding. I'm going to study and learn and discern and ask myself, does this apply to me? Is this passage for me, you see? It's a discerning heart. Number three, an honest heart is a heart that is a convicted heart. Luke adds this in his passage in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. He says that the honest and good heart is the one that hears it and accepts it, and then he says, and holds it fast. I'm not going to let it go after it goes into my heart. It's not going to come in and go out the same day. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to understand that. I'm going to study that, and I'm going to hold on to that. I'm convicted so much so that I'm going to obey it and not let it go. It's not just some passing thought. It's not just some passing idea. It's not just something that I do, well, I've got to go down to the church building and hear the preacher for a little while, and then when it's over with, I go home and then let it go. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to apply it in my life and not let it go. And so an honest heart, after being attentive and discerning, is convicted. I'm going to hold it fast. And then last of all, it's a productive heart. You know, I'm not honest until that word of God has brought forth some fruit in my life. I'm just not honest. I'm not straightforward and frank and open with the word of God until I allow it to produce fruit in my life, until I go out and obey it. And so this morning, we want to look at an honest and good heart with regard to the word of God. I may tell the truth. But I may not have an honest and good heart. I may not be attentive. I may not be discerning. I may not be convicted. I may not be productive because I'm not obeying the Word of God. Jesus wants me to be honest and good in my heart with regard to the Word of God. You know, when Jesus was preaching and teaching, He came across folks that were not honest with regard to the truth. Not everybody has an honest and good heart. Not everybody wants to openly face the truth. A few examples of this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21 when Jesus was speaking about the baptism of John. Have you ever noticed sometimes in the teaching of Jesus that He would be very plain and open with regard to what He's saying, but the audience would not be honest with what He is saying? In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, He will say unto us, why then did you not believe Him? Because some of them did not believe John. They were not baptized in the baptism of John. They didn't want that. So if we say from heaven, then He's going to say to us, well, why didn't you obey that heavenly authority? But if we shall say from men and discount it and say, well, it's just from man, that's why I didn't obey it, then He will say, why then did you not believe Him? And if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we know not. That's dishonesty. They just weren't being honest. They were in a dilemma. They realized that they were in a problem. And so, well, we don't know. No, they knew. They knew. They didn't want to be honest. And so, not everybody is honest with Bible truth. In John chapter 7, turn with me there. Sometimes Jesus would be preaching and teaching. And He would be talking to the multitude. And the multitude would believe Him and obey Him. But we find in John chapter 7 and verse 46, the officers answered, never man so spake. The Pharisees therefore said, are you also led astray? Have any of the rulers believed on Him or of the Pharisees? But the multitude that knoweth not the law are accursed. Never a man so spake. This man is impressive, some of them said. But then the Pharisees looked at them and said, well, we're not believing on Him, so you don't need to do that. And they turned away. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't obey. They're just not being honest with the truth. On other occasions, it said the common people heard Him gladly. Open and honest people heard Him and believed Him. Dishonest, hardened, deceived, prejudiced Jews did not. Here's another occasion. Turn with me to John chapter 9 and the healing of the blind man. This is a great example of someone who's just being dishonest with the facts and with the truth. Do you remember how that Jesus heals this man that is born blind? And it wasn't a matter of questioning whether or not he was actually blind. He had been blind from birth, and so it was obvious that he was in this condition. And it was also obvious that now that he could see, it was obvious that he had been with Jesus. But these people did not want to accept the truth. And so in John chapter 9 and verse 27, when they're asking Him, how opened He thine eyes? He answered them, I told you even now, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? They kept asking Him, who did this? Who did this? And He kept saying, Jesus. When they asked Him again, He said, if I tell you again, will you believe? They're just simply being dishonest. And by the end of the chapter, some of them still would not accept it. And there are other occasions in the book of John. Look at John chapter 10, verse 24. They said to Jesus, are you the Christ? Verse 25, He said, I told you before. If I tell you again, will you believe? They're just being dishonest. They're not accepting the truth. Look at the case of the healing of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Verse 45 says that many of the Jews believed. But then later some of the Pharisees, they saw the same resurrection. They saw the same Lazarus come out of the tomb. In chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, they said, let's get rid of Lazarus because people are believing on Jesus. That's dishonesty. It was obvious that Lazarus was dead. It was obvious that Jesus brought him out of the tomb. rather than being honest with the truth, they're being dishonest. Well, let's just get rid of Jesus and let's just get rid of Lazarus. Not everybody has an honest and good heart. You know, Peter and John faced the same thing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. When Peter and John had been preaching from the day of Pentecost onward, and now there is a miracle that is performed in healing the lame man in Acts chapter 3. They're performing miracles that are open and verifiable. They're preaching the truth. And we find in Acts chapter 4 and verse 16, some of the, again, the Jewish leaders, "What shall we do to these men for that a notable miracle has been wrought through them and is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it?" Well, then, if you can't deny it, then just accept it. No, we can't do that either, because we don't want that. So we'll just put the men in prison and deal with it that way. That's dishonesty. They admit that we cannot deny this notable miracle, but they won't openly accept the truth. They are hardened. They are prejudiced. They are resisting of the truth. And so verse 18, "They called them and charged them not to speak nor to preach in the name of Jesus." Now, there were others that accepted the truth, and there were others that accepted the miracles, those that were honest and good. Stephen faced that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. He faced those that just simply were not honest. He preached from the Old Testament scriptures. He talked about the coming of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, "But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears." We don't want to hear it. That's dishonesty. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to be open and fair with what you've just preached. We don't want to be straightforward and accept the truth of what you just preached. They did not have an honest and good heart. The Apostle Paul faced those who were dishonest. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. You see, it's not a problem with a lack of truth. There's plenty of truth. The miracles were performed and they were open and notable and accepted. It's the dishonest heart. And again, don't think, when you hear the word dishonest, don't think, well, that's not me because I always tell the truth. Listen, if God's word is preached and it addresses something in my life and I don't deal with it squarely, I'm dishonest. I still tell the truth and I don't steal from anybody and I don't cheat from anybody. I'm dishonest with the truth. And so Jesus wants me to be open and honest with the truth. And the parable is not just about those who need to become Christians. All of us here this morning, myself included, when the Word of God is preached, I must have an honest and good heart. It's not just about people who need to become Christians. The parable of the sower is about all people who come in contact with the Word of God. We have one of those four hearts. But in Acts chapter 14, notice in verse 2, "But the Jews that were disobedient stirred up the souls of the Gentiles and made them evil affected against the brethren." Back up in chapter 13, if you back up to chapter 13 and verse 42, there were those who accepted the Word of God, verses 42 and 43. In verse 48, some of the Gentiles accepted the Word of God. Verse 50, "But the Jews urged the devout women of honorable estate and the chief men of the city and stirred up a persecution." Not everybody was honest. Chapter 14, when they get to Iconium, some were disobedient. They're not honest with the word. It's the same message. Paul preached the same message everywhere he went. Well, what was the difference in the response? Some were honest and good hearts, some were not. Look at chapter 19 and verse 9 when Paul is preaching in the city of Ephesus. "But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way." They just weren't honest with the truth. When Paul preached before Felix, look at Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Paul preached before Felix and he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. Felix was terrified and said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee." We're going to talk about in just a moment that an honest heart, when it hears the truth, is convicted. This man hears the truth, he's terrified, but he pushes it away. That's not being open.
Well, I just want a convenient season. That's not being open and fair with the Word of God.
And so, I don't know if that convenient day ever came. I hope Felix obeyed the gospel, but we don't know. I'm just going to put it off. Turn with me to Acts 26, just a chapter or two over, in verse 28. When Paul is preaching to Agrippa, look at this. And Agrippa said unto Paul, verse 27. When Paul is preaching, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. You see, it's not a matter of truth or not knowing. He knew that. Now, what is he going to do with the truth? Look at verse 28. With but little persuasion, thou wouldest fain make me a Christian. Or one version says, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Well, why didn't he act upon it? He knew the truth. Verse 27, I know that you believe. He knew the truth, but he didn't act upon it. I'm almost persuaded. Well, that's not being open and honest with the facts and with the truth. And so it's just a matter of, well, we'll put it off and we'll deal with it later. That's dishonest. And so we've been studying baptism. Well, I'll just put it off. And we've been studying this topic and that. Well, I'll just deal with it later. That's not being honest, friends. We've got to be open and honest with our approach to the Word of God. Now let's turn our attention to what that is. We might be thinking, well, what are those characteristics? What are those signs? How do I know if I'm honest and good with regard to God's Word? Well, let's look at a few things this morning. Number one, I'm always going to seek the truth. An honest and good heart is always going to seek the truth in all matters of life. I'm not going to appeal to opinion, what I think, what I feel, the way my parents raised me. I'm going to be honest and look at truth. And truth is found in the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. John 17, 17. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. When Paul preached there, he said, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God. You didn't accept it as the Word of men. You accepted it as the truth, the Word of God. And that's the way we need to be. Give me the truth. Give me God's Word. Sometimes when you have a Bible study with somebody, they'll say, well, that's just Paul's opinion. That's just man's word. No, you're not being honest. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 there, Paul talks about those who would rather believe a lie rather than believe the truth. If I'm an honest person, I'm going to seek truth. It's found in God's Word, and so when God's Word speaks to me, I'm going to believe it and obey it and focus on it. I'm not going to believe a lie. Look at verse 10 there. It says there, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth. If I'm an honest person, I'm going to love truth more than anything else that I hear. Sometimes when you have a Bible study with someone, or maybe when we're reading our own Bible, we read it, but then we think, well, but what about what I've heard over here? No, love the truth. Love the truth. Love it more than anything, you see. That's being honest with the Word of God. Number two, when I get that truth, I'm going to investigate everything I can before making a decision. Have you ever known of somebody that you get in on a particular Bible topic, and this has happened to me before, maybe it's happened to you, and you just barely get in there, and then, well, I don't want to talk anymore. I've heard enough. That's not being honest. Honesty is, give me everything you got. Give me all the scriptures, give me all the truth, I want to look at all of it, I want to examine all of it, and then I want to make up my mind. But no, you'll have a Bible study with somebody, and the moment you share a verse that crosses up with their theology or the way they've been raised, Bible study's over. Or the folks that come by your house and they knock on the door, and after you share a verse with them, well, we've got another appointment we've got to go to. Now, I'm not making fun of them. I'm not poking fun of them. I'm just simply saying that's not honesty. Well, I've got to go. I'm going to investigate everything. Look at Acts 17:11. They searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. I love that. They didn't just simply want to accept Paul, you know, carte blanche, just without any investigation, just whatever Paul says goes. No, we're going to look at that. Paul came into town preaching that Jesus was the Christ, proving from the Scriptures, and then the verse says that they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. They didn't say, well, we'll just accept it. You know. We're going to test that. And you know the same thing is true for Chris Reeves, and the same thing is true for Larry Bunting and anybody else. We're going to see if these things are so before we accept them, before making a decision. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. We are to distinguish the things that differ. We are to distinguish the things that differ. Here's truth and here's error. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what creatures have been saying or the way I was raised. We're going to look at that. We're going to see what's the difference in that. And we're going to accept truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We're going to prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good, Bible truth, and abstain from any form of evil. We're going to do some testing. We're going to do some proving. We're going to look at that. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we're going to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're going to make some decisions. We're going to make some discerning. Do you remember back in Matthew chapter 13, the good ground, he that hears it and understands it? That involves some study, some looking at that, some investigation, some contemplation, you see. 1 John 4:1. Try the spirits. Test the spirits to see if they are of God. Turn over to 1 John 4. If we're not careful, if we don't do this, then we're going to be led astray. The particular matter that John is talking about here is the person who says that Jesus did not come in the flesh. Verse 2 and 3, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof we have heard that he cometh and now is in the world. It's the person who will not confess, verse 2, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. If you don't do some testing, if you don't do some investigation, then you're going to be led astray by people who say things that are wrong. And so an honest heart is going to investigate everything before making a decision. What if I were living in John's day and these folks came by my door and said, I want to talk with you about how that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Well, I better do some investigation. I better do some study. Otherwise, I'm going to be taken up with the Antichrist. So it's very important. I'm going to be honest. And then after I do that, what does it lead to? I want to bring my life and my decision in harmony with all that is written in the Word of God. Sometimes folks will read a verse that talks about faith, and then they will conclude faith only. No, there are verses that tell us there are other things that we need to do to be saved, you see. So look at Acts chapter 10, when Peter came to the household of Cornelius. We find that Cornelius had an attitude that we need to have, and that is we want to hear all things that are commanded, you see. Acts 10:33. Forthwith I sent to thee, and you have done well that you are come. Now therefore we are all present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. To hear all things. Our attitude needs to be, what I do to become a Christian, what I do to remain faithful as a Christian, has to be in harmony with all Bible truth, not just a few favorite passages. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Here's a good example of this with regard to Apollos. Do you remember how Apollos had been preaching the baptism of John? And when John was baptizing, that was a truth for man. John's baptism was to pass away. It was to go into the background. And Jesus' baptism was to come to the foreground. And after the death of Jesus and after Pentecost, it was Jesus' baptism that was to be preached. But when Apollos is preaching after the cross and after Pentecost, and he's preaching John's baptism, he needs to bring his teaching into more harmony with Bible truth. Priscilla and Aquila saw that. Look at Acts 18 and verse 26. He had been instructed, verse 25, in the way of the Lord. He was preaching truth, but it needed to be in harmony with what God wanted for that time. So verse 26, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. You see, I need to be in more harmony with the Word of God. And a lot of times when you're studying with folks and when we're even looking at things in our own lives, we may have some Bible truth, but we might need to be a little bit more accurate with that. And we might need to be in more harmony with other things that are written in the Word of God. And so honesty is going to cause me to accept that truth that brings me into harmony. And notice, let me ask you this, did Apollos accept that? Absolutely. In verses 27 and 28, he took that truth that Priscilla and Aquila gave him, and he went on to preach powerfully, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He was honest. He didn't say, well, hey, you know, I'm a preacher, and I've been preaching for years, and you really can't teach me anything new. You can't help me. I know all of the Scriptures. In fact, if you look at verse 23 and 24 and 25, it says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. So Apollos could have had this, look, I don't want to see anything else. You know, this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, has invited me over to their house, and they're trying to show me some more things. No, I don't need that. That's not honesty. He was honest and realized that what he was teaching was not complete Bible truth. And so he was showing the way of God more accurately. Do you know that in my life, I've had that happen with me? Do you know that I've had people come to me and show me the way of God more accurately? And I need to be open and honest and say, you know, you're right. Maybe what I was saying didn't quite fit the context or didn't fit the meaning of that word. And I appreciate you showing me that. No doubt we all have to go through that. Honesty allows us to say, I want to be in harmony with all Bible truth. And along with that is this attitude of an honest and good heart is willing to get help. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8? Turn with me to Acts chapter 8 with regard to Philip and the eunuch. As the eunuch there is riding in the chariot and he's reading from Isaiah 53, Philip runs up to him, verse 30, and hears him reading. And he says, do you understand what you read? And the eunuch said, how can I except someone shall guide me? His attitude was, I want to learn more. That's an honest and good heart. And I want to get help. Can you guide me? Can you help me? And Philip did that. And at the end of the story, he's baptized into Christ. He didn't say, no, I got it figured out. I don't need any help. I may not understand what I'm reading, but I don't want anything else. No, guide me. That's an honest heart. And back to chapter 18 and verse 26. I believe Apollos had that same willingness to get help, to get understanding. And if Priscilla and Aquila can help me understand the baptism of Jesus more, then I'm willing to sit and learn and listen. That's honesty. And then, when I'm shown to be wrong, I immediately make a change. An honest and good heart will repent as soon as convicted of wrong. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when Peter gets done preaching about how that they had crucified Christ and how that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, verse 37? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Now when they heard this, why didn't they put it off? Because they were honest. Why didn't they argue with it? Because they were honest. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Listen, have you ever heard from the Word of God that you need to make a change, but you don't do it? That's just not being honest. And you could have told the truth all that week, but it's not being honest. And so, friend, what Jesus is talking about is may hit close to home. I'm just not being honest with the Word of God. These immediately, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized. And verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized that day about 3,000 souls. They're just honest. Peter showed me that I was wrong. I'm convicted. I'm pricked in the heart. I want to make that change. And so you really need to test your honesty this morning with regard to this matter right here. And when people point out to me things in my life from the Word of God, it's a matter of honesty. I can say, no, that's not me. I can say, you're wrong. That doesn't apply to me. I can do that all day long. Or I can just simply say, you know, God's Word is right. I'm wrong. I'm going to make a change. That may be our life as a Christian. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. When Simon the sorcerer is baptized into Christ, this is not on the overhead. We could add it in if we would like in Acts chapter 8. It's just simply a matter of being honest with the Word of God. When Simon seeks to buy the gift of the laying on of hands and miraculous things with money, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, Peter said, "Thy silver perish with thee, because you have thought to obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, this of thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered and said, "Pray ye for me to the Lord, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." Apparently he had a heart that accepted that admonition. It accepted that conviction. And he was willing to make that change. Simon didn't say, "Well, you're wrong, Peter. Or that doesn't apply to me. Or I'm not guilty of that." And a host of other things. He just simply said, "You're right. Pray for me. I want to get out of this situation." An honest heart just simply changes when convicted of wrong and obeys the divine commands immediately. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized that day. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, "In the same hour of the night he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his immediately." That's an honest heart. You know what a dishonest heart is? Yes, I've been convicted of wrong. The Bible truth stands. I'm wrong, but I'm not going to do anything about it today. Now, that's not being open. That's not being fair with the Word of God. It's not being straightforward and frank with the Word of God. It's just simply saying, "You're right, God, but I'm not going to do anything about it." An honest heart says, "I'm going to do something about that immediately." In Acts chapter 22, verses 10 and following, with regard to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, we find that Ananias says to him, "Arise and be baptized. Why tarriest thou, you see?" But notice earlier in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, "What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? I just simply want to do what God wants me to do." And then look at verse 16. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." And that's what he did. Why tarriest thou? Why wait? An open and honest heart is going to act upon what the Lord wants me to do and is going to do that immediately. Notice another way that Paul put it in Acts 26. When the Lord appeared to him and told him that he would be an apostle sent to the Gentiles, in Acts 26 and verse 19, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." You know why? Because Paul was just honest. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The Lord said, "Go into Damascus, and there it will be told you what to do." He was baptized that immediately. "Arise and be baptized." He went off and started preaching. "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I'm just going to be honest about it." Now, Saul of Tarsus could have said, "Well, look at my religious background, and I don't need to do that. And look at what good I've done in the past, and I don't need to do any of this." No, he just simply did what God wanted him to do. And look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16, when he looks back on his conversion. And again, we're not just applying these things to those who need to become Christians, but all of us here this morning. An honest and good heart with regard to the Word of God, for all of us, you see. And in my life, it might be obeying some divine command. Something I need to change, something I need to do. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16, when Paul talks about his conversion and how that he's supposed to go preach to the Gentiles, we find that "God called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Immediately. Why? Because Paul was just honest with what he needed to do. And so we're going to obey, and we're going to do that today. And then, last of all, we're going to walk in the light of truth and practice God's Word. We're going to bear fruit, John 15 and verse 8. We're going to stand in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to keep producing the fruits of wisdom, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're going to simply hear and do God's Word. 2 John 4, 3 John 3, we're going to walk in truth. You see, honesty is not just about becoming a Christian. Honesty on a daily basis. Maybe there's some passage that tells me about my tongue. Maybe there's some passage that, as a Christian, maybe there's some passage that tells me about my attitude or my disposition or my demeanor. I'm just simply going to walk in that and be honest. I'm not going to leave honesty behind in the five steps of conversion, but daily I'm going to walk as a Christian. And if I need to make some correction, I'm going to do that as soon as I am convicted. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to be in harmony with all that is written in God's Word. I'm going to be willing to get help. There have been Bible study matters in the past where I've gone to someone and, can you help me with this matter? Gone to another preacher or gone to another member of the church. There have been studies that I've had here with individuals in the past. One time, Paul Douthat and I and others got together and for hours studied some matters. And I just simply want to be right, you see. I want to be open and right, and I want to be in the truth, and I want to walk in that, you see. It's not just a matter of, well, I've got it all wrapped up and I don't need any more help and I'm just going to go on my way. But I want to be honest and right with the Word of God. And studying with others can help along those matters. And so even after I become a Christian then, as an honest and good heart, I'm going to walk daily in the light of truth. Well, the lesson is yours. I hope we're telling the truth. And I hope we're not stealing and not cheating. But how is your relationship with the reception of the Word of God? Waiting to change until we're on our deathbed is a risky business. We might need to make some changes this morning. We might need to become a Christian this morning. We might need, as a Christian, to make some changes. Am I honest? Am I honest? When lessons are brought forth in Bible class and from this pulpit and around the Lord's table, when lessons are brought and a verse hits me, am I honest? I want to be. That's our admonition for this morning. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. An honest and good heart will make those necessary changes today. Let's be what Jesus wants us to be. Attentive and discerning, convicted and productive. And we're going to look for truth. And we're going to get help. And we're going to apply that. And we're going to make that change when it's pointed out to us. We're going to be that honest and good heart. That's the only heart that Jesus commends in the parable of the sower. That's the only heart that we need to have today. If we can encourage you this morning to have an honest and good heart, when the Word of God tells you to repent and be baptized, what do you do with that? Just walk away or do something with it? Be honest this morning. Be honest and make that change. And as a Christian, if we've erred in some way, if it's of a public nature, we want to let that known. Or if it's something privately that we do and really nobody knows about it, maybe me and the Lord and maybe not even anybody else. But when that Scripture convicts me, I'm just going to be honest and make those improvements and make those changes. If we can assist you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?